Good morning. I see everyone's here that's got a bet on the Super Bowl here to pray for your team. Just a little poll. Did I hope? Maybe. I know we've got Steeler fans here all the time. Got a Patriot fan, a Green Bay fan. None of our teams are here, so just a poll to see for the game to date. See how many people are pulling for which team. If you're pulling for someone, how many are for the Ravens today? And I have mixed emotions. They're in our division, so it's kind of like, how many for San Francisco? I think San Francisco probably wins this one today, at least in Glenshaw Valley. What about Joanne Fabrics? What'd she say? She'll be at Joanne Fabrics shopping. Okay. Well, you know, they can't tie in the Super Bowl, so someone's got to win. But I kind of feel sorry for the parents. It's a great thing, but one's got to win, one's got to lose. So there'll be a lot of consoling going on. But, you know, when you get a group of people together, it's hard to, even when you don't have everything put into it, to make a decision who you want to win, even in a church like this. Some people one team, some for the other team. And that's just the way life is. For announcements, Dom has a thank you that he's going to give us this morning. And while he's coming up, I will talk to you. If you can sign your red pad, have a record of your attendance, and new members will receive by the congregation next Sunday if they're approved by session. And session will meet the new members following worship up in my office upstairs. We'll only be there probably about 15 minutes at the most, and might have to carry a couple of folding chairs if everyone shows up. And the Women's Association will have a brief meeting today after church. There's not a whole lot here, and the deacons will meet Sunday, February the 10th after church in the library. And session council meeting Tuesday, February the 5th at 7 in the nursery. Suzanne Connells will be giving a children's sermon on February the 17th. Look forward to that. Per capita is $26 per member. That'll be broken down in the valley. For you new members who may not know, this is what we pay. Hate to use the word taxes, but it's what we pay for our General Assembly that meets every 2 years, our Synod, and our Presbytery, which our church is a part of. Presbytery, we're connected to all the other Presbyterian churches USA in our district and then around the nation, and that's where I go for meetings and elders if they can go. And this is what we ask you to pay if you're able to above your normal giving, because this is not what we keep in our church, but what we turn around and we pay to the presbytery and then they pay it out. So if you get your little boxes, you'll see a per capita card in there, or you can just write per capita on a check if you're able to do that. And if you're interested in joining the communications team, which I'm a part of, you can talk to Shawnee about that.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'd like to thank everybody who came over to my Eagle Scout project last week and donated food, and especially those who donated blood. Thanks to all of your help, you guys made my Eagle Scout project successful. In total, we were able to collect over $200 for the food bank, about 50 large boxes full of food for the food bank, and 37 pints of blood, which affect roughly over 100 patients. So, and that's about twice the average of your average average blood drive. Wow. So,
thank you.
Again, thank you for letting me use the hall over there, and thank you everybody for coming.
Thank you for doing a wonderful thing. Who knows, one of us may need that blood. You never know. A little announcement I want to make. We had a call from Glenshaw Church, and we've got a sign on the fellowship hall. There's a lady, I don't remember her name, she's kind of a short lady, and she is slipping into churches, and I guess, you know, any church building, that's a church building too, and she is hiding, and when it's closed up, she is taking things out. and she has a mental problem. She's not doing it out of need. I think she's doing it out of a mental condition. The other night, this Thursday at choir practice, Mickey heard a door open. The choir looked around in the building, didn't see anyone. They locked the doors. About 45 minutes later, they were through. They went to leave, if I remember right. A door was unlocked, so somebody had come into the church. Whether it was her or not, we don't know. So I just want to inform the congregation, if you are down here and you come into this building, you might want to lock the door behind you so no one would slip in. It could be a homeless person wanting a warm place to sleep. You just don't know. But I came down Friday afternoon with Xenon, my big Doberman pincher. We went all through the building to see if anyone was hiding. I figured he would pick up on it. A guard dog like that. Went all through the basement, and my allergies have suffered for it, I tell you. I should have known better. But even went into a little back room, and that door's pushed, and we didn't find anybody within this church building. So I believe that you can feel safe. But just wanted to make you aware of that. So I think everything is safe and secure, and as long as we know and you lock up behind you, everything should be fine. As far as we know, this lady is harmless. She just she sometimes comes in, mingles in with crowds, and then hides. So, but her name is on the door. I don't know if we can get a photograph of her or not. Would probably be good. So we don't want to leave the little wooden blocks, like some of you prop the doors open sometimes. It's probably not a good thing to do. Maybe even on Sunday morning, for at least for a while, we probably ought to lock the CE building and ring the door to go get the children. It'd probably be a wise thing to do. Okay. Minute for mission.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The food pantry donation table has been returned to the back of the room, and we are asking for continued participation in this mission program. We have been very successful last year, so hopefully we can continue with that. This year, we'll be tracking the amount of items donated by weight instead of the number of boxes and bags. The March Madness Challenge will be to match or exceed the goal weight in donated items. The deacons will be have weighed all of our bags that we carry around, including our purses, deacon supplies, work bags, craft bags, etc. Our March Madness goal weight is 188 pounds. That's just with the deacons. All of the items are donated to the Aetna Bread of Life Food Pantry in Aetna and benefit families in our community. There is always a need for canned and boxed goods, toiletry items, house cleaning supplies, pet supplies. Please consider matching the weight goal in donated items for our March Madness Challenge. This is the first time that we can actually say, as a New Year's resolution, I hope my weight goes up. There will be information in the Valley newsletter of other deacon programs that we offer to the congregation and the community and upcoming events. Thank you and God bless. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Such a wonderful thing to deacons to do. They're a great group, and helping people to eat, and especially in bad economic times, is just wonderful. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise this morning, 284. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
Thank you.
worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We praise you for showing your love through Jesus. Forgive us when we do not love you or our neighbors. Help us to remember that love is kind and it does not fail. Teach us how to be patient with others, because sometimes we need them to be patient with us. Help us to put away our childish ways. May we become mature in our faith, hope, and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let's join together with a sense of unity as part of the church worldwide here at Glenshaw Valley as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
This week I've talked to a lot of persons that are home ill and been ill for a long time, so if you're uncomfortable shaking hands or hugging, just say hello and thank you, and then there's some gel around if you do shake hands, so I want everyone to feel comfortable, but let's take a moment and greet one another.
Thank you.
Very beautiful. Very beautiful. Beautiful song. The responsive reading is 653, God's Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him.
In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love.
We love him because he first loved us.
This time, present our prayers. I'm not sure who's doing it. Jim.
It's one prayer request from Patty Gamrod, prayer request for continued prayers for Gerald Thompson. Has a tumor on the left side of the neck, and apparently they're given radiation 5 days a week for the next 5 weeks, and if that don't work, it's only going to be about 6 months. So.
Okay, thank you. And just a little quick comment. We've not heard anything negative about the cards. If you've got anything positive or negative to say, you can still let us know. Personally, I'm liking it, and I hope you are, because I can take them home and read it and follow up on it. But still would like to know how people feel about it. And you can peruse the back of your bulletins. BJ is at home now. She was down here this morning. I don't think she's in service. She's in the library. Good. And so we're praying for her. And Christine Gill had gone home. And you can read about others that have been ill and at home. As I said, I've talked to some people this week. Bev and Paul have been home. A lot of people have been sick, and they are staying sick for about a month. And Ruthie Maul has been sick. The Bakers, talked to them last night. They've been ill. So there's a lot of people in our church that have need to stay home and rest and get well. And then a personal one for a friend of mine in South Carolina. He's gone down to Florida to do proton treatment on his prostate. He has cancer. One of my two best friends in South Carolina named Mike Jeffords. So I'd like prayer for him. And pray for our church in general. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, and we thank you for your love that you have shown to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. You sent him into this world to pay the debt that we could never pay, that we would have the free gift of eternal life and salvation. We could have a relationship with you and know that you are the Creator, the giver of all life, and that you are there with us every day to bring us a sense of comfort and even joy. At times, life is tough. It is hard. But when we hold on to you, it can be better. We can find out that you love us, and how much our friends and our family and our church and others care for us through their prayers, through the comments, through their cards, through their telephone calls, through just kind acts and words, their words and their deeds. Thank you for giving us a chance to reach out in love and compassion and to receive it from others in our own lives. Help us to be a loving congregation. Help us to be loving individuals, learning to put the needs of others at times ahead of our own selves, but doing it with a sense of balance. Lord, we all need prayer. We all need help. We all need kindness shown to us, and we all need to show kindness to others. Continue to help us to do that. They'll know we are Christians, not because we attended church, not because we had a plaque with our name on it, or because we served on a council or a board or a team or a committee, but because we showed love. That is the basis of our Christian faith, founded on our belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Help us to truly love. Help us to heal if something is blocking that love in our lives. We lift again all these situations to you and those ones that have not been named. You know who they are. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is a contemporary hymn of preparation on the screen, With Eyes of Faith. Thank you. Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. Help us to rejoice within it. We're so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself that we might have life upon this earth and life eternal with you. And we might have the chance to love you, to love one another, our family, our friends, members of our church, and even to try to love those who we don't feel loving towards. Help us with that. And we thank you that you have sent the Holy Spirit to empower us, to help us in our lives, to help us with our faith, to help us with troubles within our lives, to help us be the church that you have called us to be. And as individuals, thank you, Lord, for gifting us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Call William up.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. I get it all there. Last week, the Sunday school class elected to repeat the three lessons about the Apostle Paul. Coincidentally, Reverend Pate chose a scripture from one of Paul's letters to the Corinthian church. From Acts, we know that Paul established the Corinthian church on his second missionary trip after receiving a vision from God to go to Macedonia, and another while he was in Corinth to stay there because there was many people for God there. Corinth was an unlikely place to establish a church because it was the sin city of the time. After about 2 years, Paul did move on to Ephesus, where news caught up to him that the city's worldly influence had begun to corrupt the church. Paul wrote this letter to address the problems of pride, greed, self-indulgence, immorality, and lust that had been fueled by the outside influences of the city. He also included chapter 13, the most beautiful and awe-inspiring description of agape love, the love that God has for us. And because of God's love for us, Jesus commands us to love in turn our God, our spouses, our neighbors, and even our enemies with this same agape love. So please listen to your own personal message as I read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. If I speak with tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesize in spirit in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. for now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. God bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. In all the horrors of World War II, and there were certainly many, many, there always are in war, but there were some pinpoints of light and nobility. One German soldier, Private Joseph Schultz, was one of those pinpoints. Schultz was sent to Yugoslavia shortly after the Nazis invaded that country, and he was a loyal German, loved his country. He was a soldier on patrol, and one day the sergeant called out eight names, and he was among those names called out. They thought they were going on a routine patrol to scout. And as they hitched up their rifles, they came over a hill, not knowing what their mission was, only the sergeant. There they encountered eight Yugoslavians standing on a hill, five men and three women. It was only then, when they were about 50 feet away, when any marksman could shoot out the eye of a pheasant, that the soldiers realized what their mission was. The soldiers were lined up, the orders barked out, ready. They lifted their rifles, aim. And the soldiers set their sights. Then suddenly the silence that prevailed and the thud of a rifle butt hit the ground. The sergeant and the seven other soldiers and eight Yugoslavians stopped and all looked. Private Schultz walked towards the Yugoslavians. His sergeant called after him and ordered him to come back, but he pretended that he did not hear. Instead, Schultz walked 50 feet to the mound of that hill, and he joined hand with those eight Yugoslavians. There was a moment of silence, and then the sergeant barked out his final command, fire. Private Schultz and those Yugoslavians were killed. Found on his body was an excerpt from St. Paul, from 1 Corinthians 13:7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is a true story from World War II, and it demonstrates the concept of love as articulated by St. Paul in his famous passage from 1 Corinthians. You know, there are many manifestations of love brought together by Paul, who understood this powerful emotion through his imitation of Jesus and Jesus' commandment of love. We are called to love without reservation. Not an easy thing to do, but it is a commandment. And St. Paul begins his teaching by describing the many ways that love excels all the other virtues that he talks about. He says one may be able to speak with great force and angelic quality, but if there's no love behind the words, the person is like just a noisy gong or a clunking cymbal, just making noise. The reason one speaks is of great importance for Paul. A person must speak with the proper intent, never to injure another person, but always to demonstrate love and mercy to that person. Tough love may demand words that others do not want to hear. To act any other way would not be a demonstration of love. Yes, sometimes there is tough love. You're talking to your children. The apostle then speaks of the power of love over prophecy. We may have been given the gift to understand great mysteries and opportunity to proclaim them to others, but without love, we're not utilizing the gift in the appropriate manner. Then there's knowledge. It is given to aid others and to build up the kingdom of God. But if we do not use knowledge properly, use of knowledge is easy to misuse, or it is to utilize it in inappropriate ways. It will not be used to build up the kingdom of God. It can actually be used to tear down the kingdom of God. Paul says we may have faith so strong that we can move mountains, yet if we do not have love as to undergird that, it really counts as nothing. Faith in God mandates that we have a great abiding love. Faith without love cannot be real faith in God, because God is love and God demands love from us above all else. Paul says if we give away all that we have and our bodies even over to others or to use in some way but do not possess love, we've really gained nothing. There's no activity of charity or compassion that can be done without love as the true motivation behind it. We may give, but there's no love behind that gift, then we're probably giving out of a selfish reason. To be noticed, to make ourselves feel good, to have our name on a plaque, to be recognized by others. Paul provides ample evidence of the reality that love is the basic Christian virtue that really props up everything else, and without it, none of the rest of them really hold water. It is the foundation of which all the others are built. It is the root from which all of Christianity blossoms. Love is absolutely essential if we are to live the Christian life as Jesus outlined in his words and his deeds. He said in John 13, "I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another." Not if you build a great church, not if you give a great amount of money, not if you do this or that or the other, but if you show love, if you have love, if you have love. Love should always be the guiding factor and the guiding principle in everything that we do. Paul's idea that love is the base of Christianity is clear, but how can we actually love as Jesus commanded? The apostle helps us answer this question by providing an important list of qualities for anyone who loves. First, he says, love is patient. That's a tough one. We know patience is a virtue in short supply these days. The humorous little prayer demonstrates our difficulty with patience. Oh Lord, grant me patience and give it to me right now. We're not a patient people. We don't want to wait for anything these days. Just look at your computer. Remember when you first got computers? You had to wait for things. Now if you had to wait that long, you'll throw that computer away because you want it now. Microwaves, you want it now. We can't wait for anything to cook. You wait in line at McDonald's and you want it right now. How dare her? I've got to wait 2 minutes. How horrible. We don't want to wait for anything in our world or in our personal lives. We want instant answers and instant results. We're all impatient, especially when we have no control over our responses or our results. Paul suggests that if we truly love, then we will learn to demonstrate patience in our lives. Next, he says, love is kind. Often impatience leads to very unkind attitude. We become angry quite readily. The way we approach people and situations is too often far less than kind. We're adversarial. We are right and everyone else is wrong. We believe we are too kind. If we are too kind, we demonstrate weakness and others will take advantage of us. So we don't show any weakness. Yet Paul suggests that we are not people of love if we cannot demonstrate kindness to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Showing compassion is not showing weakness. Sometimes not fighting is showing strength above the person who is fighting with you. The apostle continues by saying, love is never envious or boastful. There are certainly major problems in our society today. We're always trying to impress people with who we are and the things that we have or the things we do. We observe it, and we are professional athletes and television and movie stars and politicians, and we emulate them and we watch them and we want to be like them. But even more, Paul is suggesting that a boastful, envious attitude destroys relationships. True love for another cannot allow us to be envious of others or what they do or what they have. We're told by Paul that love is never resentful. If we're envious, we're often resentful of what others have been given. We desire their power, their wealth, their prestige, or some combination of the three. And we cannot lord it over others simply because circumstances or situations has placed us above others in the corporate or social ladder or even in the church hierarchy. True love is incompatible with attitudes that differentiate between people or places, one person ahead, one person behind the other. There's no place for that in God's kingdom. And no place for that in God's church. Paul concludes his discussion of love's qualities, providing a list of attributes to demonstrate the positive nature and hopefulness of love. He says, love bears through any hardship. We know love is greatly tested when problems and hardships of life come our way. And we've all faced it, and I've always said, if you've not really faced a hardship in your life, just get ready, because, my friends, you certainly will. The person of love can look down the road and bear through to the end. This is possible because people who love can believe that all things are possible. With love, meaning with God, all things truly are possible. We can hope in all things because love, hope, possible. As a popular expression goes, hope springs eternal. Paul believes that love is eternal. While prophecies end through their fulfillment, tongues will fall into disuse, and even knowledge will be lost over time, love will endure. Love never goes away. Prophecy, knowledge, and all other ideas are only found in part, but love is eternal. Love is the fulfillment of our life. Paul expresses this idea by seeing love as an adult response to life. In the end, he summarizes his teachings by saying, all the great virtues of faith, hope, and love, the greatest and therefore the base of the Christian life, is love. How can we manifest this great love of God? Joan Baez, the famous folk singers of the 1960s, sang a song titled, Love is Just a Four-Letter Word. The lyrics of the song express the idea that love, because a short word of only four letters, it might be a simple concept. We know, however, that this virtue of the Christian life is anything but simple. As Private Schultz understood by his heroic action, giving his life to identify with those others and then shot to death, love never delights in evil but always rejoices in the truth. The Greeks, a wise and very highly sophisticated ancient civilization, understood the complexity of love. We Americans have one word for love, and we love our spouse, we love our dog, we love our house, we love our car, we love our food, our drinks, our green lawn. Everything is love. It's just one word for it. But they had different words for love, three basically. The concept of eros speaks of a romantic or an erotic love. Obviously, this is the element of love where men and women demonstrate their total commitment to each other in marriage, the fulfillment. And the Greeks used the word philia to describe brotherly or sisterly love, and we have relationships with members of our family, good friends, colleagues, associates at work, as well as our neighbors and those within our body of church here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian. And we must show love for them. We cannot like all people. That's where we get confused sometimes. We will choose to associate for social reason with some and not associate with socially with others. Others we might choose to avoid for a whole host of reasons. Some of our reasons might be appropriate that we avoid them. Some reasons we avoid them are not appropriate reasons. Yet we are called to demonstrate love to all people. In essence, we are called to respect people. And when we quit respecting people, we're not loving people. And we need to respect everyone. To never seek an advantage over them. To never denigrate them, their person, or the ideas that they express simply because we do not agree with them. Love calls us to show this common respect for all people. The Greeks used the word agape. Bill mentioned it. To express the highest form of love, God's love. Now, what is God's love? God's love is a sacrificial love. Is it a love of service, if you will, to one another? While Paul's exhortation of love on initial examination does not seem to speak of service, yet all these qualities lead to it. Service requires us to go out of our way beyond our immediate area of comfort to meet the needs of others, our brothers and sisters, within our immediate group to try to meet their needs. And then for Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian as a corporate body of Christ to reach out into the community and say, what are the needs of the people in the community that we can meet their needs and hopefully draw them to a relationship with Jesus Christ and maybe draw them into our body of Christ here at Glenshaw Valley, and be in relationship with them and keep them connected with God. And in such endeavors, we must show patience and kindness, at times giving up some of the comforts and things that we like for what they need. And we must never be boastful or arrogant, placing ourselves above others. Being smarter does not mean that you are better. We've all heard the expression, if not by the grace of God, there go I. And always think about that. Our Christian commitment to love calls us to serve others, and we must never shirk this most important responsibility that we've been called to as Christians. The manifestations of love are many, and few of us will ever be tested as Private Schultz was. His faith constitution was obviously strong, and he made his decision to stand with those Yugoslavians as an act of love. Still, we are challenged on a daily basis, to show love, to manifest and align with our spouses, our friends, our associates, the people in our church, the special qualities of love that Paul has described to us in 1 Corinthians. So let's take some time. Let's look into our hearts, deep within the recess of your heart. Look and just sit still for a while and ask yourself, am I showing love? Am I really being a loving person? Or am I just expecting everybody just to love me and meet my needs? Or am I trying to love and meet the needs? Am I respecting the people that are around me? Am I listening to what they have to say? Or am I only trying to get them to listen to what I have to say? Am I only trying to get my needs met? Or am I trying to help them get their needs met? How did you love last week? How did you love yesterday? How will you love today? And how will you love tomorrow? How will you show that love to those close to you? Sometimes that's the hardest. How will you show it to your neighbors? How will you show it to your church family? I've always been a believer that if we cannot show love within the church family, why should anyone believe and want to be a part of our church? Why should they believe what we have to say? We have to manifest this love, the beauty of God's love, for people to believe what we have to say. When we find the answers within ourselves, let us have the courage, as Private Schultz, as St. Paul, to put his life on the line, as Jesus to put his life on the line. We probably won't have to do it in that manifestation. But to say in word and in deed, to truly begin to love. Four-letter word, but sometimes it can be so difficult to love. But let us try. May God bless you. Amen. A hymn of response, 286. Blessed be the tie that binds. Prospective new members, come on up to my office, and the session members that are able to stay, and if you got children, you can go on up there. We might have to take a couple of folding chairs, but we're only going to be up there 10 or 15 minutes, so we're not going to keep you long. It's more of a meet and greet type thing. As you go from the sanctuary today, I hope that you felt comforted. Most of all, I hope that you felt loved, and I hope that you feel like giving love to others. It's not often easy to do when you don't feel loving, when you don't feel well, but we are commanded to do it. We're commanded even to love our enemies, to show patience and kindness and grace. Let us all work towards that end. Let us go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.